This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine probably the most expensive, frantic technological arms race in human history. Like hundreds of billions of dollars are just being poured into data centers, energy grids, silicon chips.
Right, it's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Every major tech giant is basically throwing their entire balance sheet at artificial intelligence because, you know, they're terrified of being left behind. But then, and this is the crazy part, sitting right in the middle of all this chaos, the company that just hit a historic record-breaking market valuation is the one that actively refused to join the spending frenzy.
I mean, it completely upends the traditional playbook, doesn't it?
It really does.
Usually, when you have a foundational new technology emerge, the market rewards the companies that show the most aggressive capital expenditure.
Mm.
We're always taught that if you want to win the future, you basically have to buy it first.
Right.
But right now, the market is sending this deeply contradictory signal about what winning in the AI era actually looks like.
And, well, that contradiction is exactly our mission today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are unpacking the current deeply divided landscape of artificial intelligence. We're going to explore this massive divergence in how big tech is spending or, you know, not spending their billions.
Yeah, the numbers are wild.
We'll also look at how this technology is rapidly turning from a novelty into a commoditized utility in complex fields like corporate law. And finally, we'll get into the impending high-stakes regulatory deadlines kicking in across the globe, some of them literally in a matter of days.
So to guide this exploration for you, we are pulling from a very specific set of sources. We've got the AI Daily Briefing from July 30, 2026, and we are analyzing those raw updates alongside commentary provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Awesome.
Yeah, his analysis is really what bridges the gap between these massive macroeconomic numbers and the actual operational reality for you, for businesses trying to survive this shift.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just jump right into the numbers because the scale here is staggering. On July 28, Apple touched a market capitalization of $5 trillion during intraday trading.
Wow.
Right. They closed just shy of it at $4.99 trillion, but that peak allowed them to reclaim the title of the world's most valuable company, completely unseating NVIDIA, and their stock is up 24% this year.
Which is just remarkable when you consider the broader context. I mean, NVIDIA is the undisputed hardware engine of the AI boom.
Oh, absolutely. They're making the shovels.
Exactly. They build the chips that make this entire industry function. So for Apple to overtake them, and not by building faster chips or massive server farms, but basically by relying on steady iPhone demand and preserving their cash, that is a massive signal to the market.
So investors are looking at the sheer cost of building AI infrastructure and deciding that Apple's strategy is better.
Yeah, they're deciding that sitting out the early, really expensive facility race is actually the safer bet.
I want to break down that concept of the facility race because, well, if Apple is the ultimate saver, Meta and Microsoft are writing checks that are just hard to comprehend.
Oh, totally.
Let's look at Meta's second quarter earnings. Top line revenue looks incredible, you know, up 28% to $60.8 billion. But their net income actually fell 14% down to $15.8 billion.
Right. And the underlying mechanics of that drop are crucial for you to understand it. It wasn't because their core advertising business failed or anything.
No. Ad revenue is fine.
Yeah. The profit drag came from two very specific, massive operational costs. First, they had a $2.4 billion legal settlement. And second, $1.18 billion in severance costs from layoffs that happened back in May.
Over $1 billion just to shrink their workforce? It's hard to wrap your head around, but that's just looking in the rearview mirror. Hmm. What really caught my eye is their forward guidance on capital expenditure, their CapEx.
Here's where it gets crazy.
Yeah. Meta announced they're raising their forecast for facility investments this year to a range between $125 billion and $145 billion.
Let's just contextualize what $145 billion in facility investment actually means. Like, we aren't talking about renting office space in Silicon Valley.
Definitely not.
This is the physical construction of hyperscale data centers. It involves buying vast tracts of land, securing industrial-scale water rights for cooling systems, and, you know, negotiating directly with utility companies to build new electrical substations.
Because these AI facilities draw as much power as, what, medium-sized cities?
Exactly. They're massive energy sinks.
And the market immediately punished them for it. Meta's stock dropped 4% following that announcement. Investors looked at that $145 billion price tag and just panicked.
They panicked because of the timeline to profitability.
Hmm.
I mean, when you build a data center, it doesn't generate a single dime of revenue until it's finished, populated with servers, and actively running client workloads.
So it's all outgoing cash for years.
Right. The market is looking at Meta and wondering, you know, how many years will it take to recoup $145 billion just through AI features on Instagram or Facebook?
Okay, so Meta takes a stock hit for spending, but then you look at Microsoft and the narrative fractures again.
It's completely different.
Yeah. Microsoft's fiscal second quarter revenue grew 17% to $81.3 billion. Operating income was at $38.3 billion. They spent $37.5 billion on facilities. But here's the critical detail. Two-thirds of that went into short-term assets like GPUs and CPUs.
Yes.
So, wait, why is the hardware categorized as a short-term asset? If you buy a massive server rack, shouldn't that last a decade?
That is one of the most misunderstood aspects of the current AI economy. In traditional cloud computing, a standard server could easily run for 5 to 7 years.
Sure.
But AI computational hardware, specifically GPUs, graphics processing units, they operate on a hyper-accelerated depreciation cycle.
Is that just because the next generation of chips is always so much faster?
Well, it's mostly about performance per watt. The electricity required to run these chips is the ultimate bottleneck.
To the energy costs.
Right. So if a chip manufacturer releases a new GPU that does 4 times the mathematical calculations using the exact same amount of electricity, your 2-year-old GPU is suddenly economically unviable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it literally costs too much in power to run it compared to the output it generates. So Microsoft is spending tens of billions of dollars on hardware that they know will likely be obsolete, or at least highly inefficient, within 6 months.
That makes the financial risk even more intense. It feels like building a global high-speed rail network where the tracks physically degrade every 3 years and have to be entirely replaced.
That's a great analogy.
So how do they justify that kind of continuous massive expenditure?
Because of the demand bottleneck on the other side.
Right.
And this is where we see that massive divergence from Meta.
Right.
Microsoft's Azure cloud revenue grew by 39%. Even more revealing, their overall AI business hit an annualized run rate of $37 billion.
I need to pause on another number related to that demand, actually. The data from July 30 shows Microsoft has $625 billion in remaining cloud contract obligations. And roughly 45% of that is tied to OpenAI commitments.
It's huge.
What exactly is a remaining contract obligation in this context?
So, also known as an RPO. A remaining performance obligation is essentially guaranteed future revenue.
Okay.
It means enterprise customers like massive banks, healthcare networks, logistics companies, they have signed legally binding multi-year contracts agreeing to spend that money on Microsoft's cloud infrastructure.
Wait, so Microsoft hasn't been paid the $625 billion yet, but the contracts are signed in ink.
Correct. And the fact that nearly half of that backlog is specifically driven by demand for OpenAI's models, that is staggering.
Yeah, that means businesses aren't just, like, experimenting with AI on the side.
No, they are locking themselves into massive, long-term contracts just to guarantee they have access to the compute power when they need it.
Which brings us perfectly to lawyer Kinjin Kim's analysis of these diverging paths. He points out that this isn't just a difference in accounting, it's a fundamental split in how these companies view the future of the technology.
Yeah, his commentary makes it clear that the broader market is in a state of deep indecision.
Right.
Investors are punishing Meta because their spending seems decoupled from immediate revenue. They are rewarding Microsoft because their spending is backed by guaranteed enterprise contracts.
And they are crowning Apple because they managed to reach the summit by entirely avoiding the depreciation nightmare of owning massive fleets of GPUs.
Exactly.
So if you're a listener looking at this, the takeaway is that the raw infrastructure layer of AI is still an incredibly volatile, capital-intensive war zone.
Oh, without a doubt.
Which begs the question, how are these companies planning to actually extract value from this expensive, rapidly depreciating hardware? The answer kind of leads us out of the data centers and straight into the trenches of real-world application.
Specifically, into one of the most text-heavy, complex, and high-margin industries on Earth, the legal sector.
Yeah, the shift we're seeing here is moving at breakneck speed. Let's look at Legora, a major legal AI company. They recently closed a $600 million Series D funding round.
That's a massive round.
It is. It brings their valuation to $5.6 billion. And immediately, they're deploying that capital to buy a UK-based litigation analysis startup called Wexler.
And, you know, the details of that Wexler acquisition reveal exactly where the real value in AI is hiding right now.
Yeah.
Wexler was only founded in January 2023.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They have just 18 employees.
Yeah.
Yet this is Legora's fifth acquisition this year alone.
I have to push back on the timeline there. How does an 18-person startup, barely a year and a half old, become a prime acquisition target for a $5.6 billion unicorn?
It sounds wild, right?
Like, what could 18 people possibly have built that Legora couldn't just build themselves with their massive engineering team?
It's all about the specific problem they solved. You see, Wexler didn't build a new underlying language model. They built an incredibly sophisticated application layer on top of existing models.
Oh, I see.
They specialize in extracting facts, verifying relationships, and drawing inferences from massive, unstructured document troves.
So like analyzing 100,000 emails in a corporate fraud case.
Exactly that. In complex litigation, human lawyers spend thousands of billable hours just trying to establish timelines and locate contradictions across disparate documents.
It's tedious work.
Highly tedious. So Wexler utilizes advanced vector databases and a technique called retrieval augmented generation, or RG.
Oh, let's define that for the listener, because RG seems to be the magic acronym right now.
Yeah, it's crucial. So imagine you ask an AI to summarize a specific legal contract. If it just relies on its general training data, it might hallucinate or get the details wrong.
Which you definitely don't want in a legal case.
Right. So Egor forces the AI to first search a highly secure, closed database, in this case. The specific documents of the lawsuit retrieve the exact relevant paragraphs and then use the language model only to synthesize and summarize those specific paragraphs.
Got it.
It mathematically maps concepts, so it understands that an email mentioning the offshore account is semantically related to a bank statement from the Cayman Islands, even if the exact keywords don't match.
And because Wexler perfected that highly specific, low hallucination workflow, elite litigation teams like Clifford Chance and Goodwin, Herbert Smith, Freehills Kramer, they're all using them.
Exactly.
So Legora isn't buying an AI model. They're buying the established, trusted workflow of the world's most profitable law firms.
That is the crucial insight. And it completely reframes our understanding of the other legal tech development we're looking at today.
Right. LegalOn.
Yes. LegalOn, another major player in this space, just released over 100 prompt workflows tailored for in-house corporate counsel.
And these workflows cover everything, right? Like M&A, litigation, intellectual property, compliance, corporate governance. They even have localized versions for the U.S., the EU, and Singapore.
They do.
But here's the part that I found completely baffling. They are giving all 100 of these customized workflows away to their subscribers for free.
Yeah, completely free.
If this AI is so revolutionary, why are they giving away the most valuable, specialized templates for free? Are we already seeing a race to the bottom where AI tools are just expected freebies rather than premium products?
It feels counterintuitive, but lawyer Kyungjin Kim's commentary cuts right to the heart of this.
Yeah.
We are witnessing the rapid commoditization of AI capabilities.
Oh, interesting.
The sheer ability of a machine to accurately read and summarize a contract is no longer a premium magical feature. It is a baseline expectation.
So the raw intelligence is just table stakes now.
Exactly. His analysis argues that the battlefield has shifted entirely. The question for a legal team is no longer, can your AI read this non-disclosure agreement?
Right.
The question is, can your AI seamlessly adapt to how our specific legal department prefers to draft non-disclosure agreements?
Ah, I see. The value isn't the model. It's the interface and the habit. The materials note that these workflows actually learn the legal team's preferred clauses and phrasing over time.
Precisely. If LegalOn gives these workflows away for free, they integrate themselves into the daily, minute-by-minute operations of that in-house counsel.
They become indispensable.
Right. The AI learns that this specific company prefers, say, aggressive indemnification clauses, but soft arbitration clauses. Once the software is molded perfectly to the legal team's unique operational style, ripping it out and replacing it with a competitor becomes a logistical nightmare.
It's a strategy of total workflow capture. The AI itself is just the plumbing, you know? The customized workflows are the fixtures that the user interacts with every single day.
That's a great way to put it.
Legora buys Wexler to own the fact-checking workflow, and LegalOn gives away prompts to own the drafting workflow.
And lawyer Kyungjin Kim emphasizes that this commoditization is happening across all enterprise sectors, not just law. The companies that will thrive aren't necessarily the ones building the biggest models, but the ones building the stickiest ecosystems around those models.
Okay, so we have tech giants burning billions to build the raw infrastructure, and software companies racing to embed that infrastructure into every corporate workflow on the planet.
Yep.
Naturally, when a technology becomes that powerful and that ubiquitous, the rulemakers step in. And this brings us to a massive immediate reality check for anyone using these tools.
Oh, absolutely. The geopolitical and regulatory friction around AI is escalating faster than the technology itself right now.
Let's start with the most urgent deadline on the calendar. We are looking at data from July 30, and the European Union's AI Act has provisions that become fully applicable on August 2.
That is a 72-hour window.
Literally just days away.
And this is where theoretical regulatory discussions become existential threats to a business. Lawyer Kyungjin Kim's analysis zeroes in on two specific articles of the EU AI Act that trigger immediately.
Okay, what are they?
Article 50, which deals with transparency provisions, and Article 73, which mandates the reporting of serious incidents.
Let's clarify what a serious incident means in the context of an AI model, because to me, it sounds like we're talking about a factory floor accident.
Well, in the eyes of the EU, a serious incident could be an AI model malfunctioning and exposing protected personal data, or, you know, an automated decision-making tool demonstrating severe, unmitigated bias in a high-stakes area like hiring or loan approvals.
And if a company fails to comply with these new transparency rules, the penalties are catastrophic. The materials say fines can cap out at 15 million euros, or 3% of a company's global annual revenue, whichever is larger.
Yeah, for a multinational enterprise, 3% of global gross revenue isn't just a cost of doing business.
No, it's massive.
It could wipe out their entire profit margin for the year.
Now, there's one small caveat in the materials. The requirement to have machine-readable markings on AI-generated outputs that are already on the market has been delayed by 4 months, moving the deadline to December 2.
Yes.
Why the delay on that specific technical requirement?
Because the mechanics of machine-readable markings, or watermarking AI outputs, are incredibly complex.
How does that actually work? If I generate a paragraph of text using an AI, how do you mathematically prove a machine wrote it?
It relies on altering the token probability distributions during the generation process.
Okay, lost me there a bit.
So when an AI writes a sentence, it is essentially calculating the most statistically probable next word, a token. A watermarking algorithm forces the AI to periodically select a slightly less probable word following a secret cryptographic pattern.
Oh, so it weaves an invisible statistical signature into the text itself.
Exactly. A specialized scanner can look at the text, detect that specific unnatural statistical pattern, and confirm it was AI generated.
That's brilliant.
It is. But the problem is, implementing these watermarks without degrading the quality of the AI's output and making them robust enough that a bad actor can't just run the text through a paraphraser to strip the watermark out is an immense engineering challenge.
Oh, I bet. So people could just wash the watermark away if it's not done right.
Exactly. The EU recognized that technical reality and provided a slight grace period for the technical labeling.
But just to be absolutely clear for you listening, that delay is only for the machine-readable labeling. The core transparency rules and the incident reporting mandates are live on August 2.
That's right. And while the EU relies on sweeping legislative acts, regulators in the United States are taking a more tactical approach.
Right.
The U.S. Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, is closing its public comment period for a draft policy statement on AI accuracy on July 31.
This is a fascinating pivot. The FTC is looking at AI accuracy not through the lens of data privacy, but explicitly through the lens of consumer protection.
Which is a massive expansion of regulatory scope.
Yeah.
The FTC is signaling that they view an AI hallucination, you know, a chatbot, confidently providing false information as akin to a defective physical product.
Wow. So if a company deploys an AI customer service bot that invents a fake refund policy and tells a customer they are owed money,
the FTC is preparing to hold that company legally liable for deceptive practices.
They are treating the AI's output as a legally binding corporate communication. That completely changes the risk calculus for deploying these tools.
It does. And that's just the domestic pressure. the regulatory landscape becomes infinitely more complex when you factor in the geopolitical standoff over the fundamental building blocks of AI.
The July 28 warning from China's Ministry of Commerce is a perfect example of this. The U.S. has been heavily restricting the export of advanced AI chips, like those high-end NVIDIA GPUs we discussed earlier, to Chinese firms.
Right.
In response, China's Ministry of Commerce explicitly condemned this as an exercise in AI hegemony and warned of resolute countermeasures against U.S. sanctions.
The rhetoric is escalating precisely because AI is now viewed as critical national security infrastructure. The materials note that this Chinese warning actually followed allegations from the U.S. Treasury Secretary regarding suspicions of intellectual property theft by Chinese AI firms.
A claim that the Chinese Ministry of Commerce completely dismissed as baseless. But what really stands out is their assertion regarding the capability gap.
Oh, yeah.
They argued that despite the chip sanctions, the release timelines for advanced Chinese models are rapidly closing the gap with U.S. models. And they claim that in certain specific domains, Chinese AI models are already surpassing their American counterparts.
It's a bold claim.
Wait, how is that physically possible? If the U.S. is successfully blocking them from buying the massive clusters of short-term GPUs needed to train the models, how are Chinese firms achieving model parity?
Well, it comes down to architectural efficiency and the open source community. While U.S. tech giants are throwing sheer brute force computational power at the problem, researchers in China are aggressively optimizing smaller models. Furthermore, many foundational AI weights, like Meta's Llama models, are released open source.
Oh, so anyone can use them.
Anyone in the world can download the base intelligence and then fine-tune it locally using significantly less computational power. The sanctions make it harder to train a massive model from scratch, but they don't prevent you from highly optimizing an open source model that already exists.
Man, it's a high-stakes geopolitical chess match, and the board is constantly shifting. And speaking of the fuel that runs this entire machine, there is one more critical piece of the puzzle. Data.
Data is everything.
The materials mention that Reddit's second quarter earnings are pending on July 30, with a $60 million per year AI data contract with Google hanging in the balance.
$60 million annually, simply for the right to read and digest Reddit posts.
It's wild.
But it highlights a massive looming crisis in the AI industry. The data wall.
Right, the idea that we are literally running out of high-quality human text to train these models on.
Exactly. You can only feed an AI so many Wikipedia articles and public domain books before it plateaus.
Right, it needs more.
To get smarter, models need conversational data, reasoning data, and most importantly, data that includes human preference ranking.
Which is exactly what Reddit provides. It's not just the text of a post, it's the upvotes and downvotes. That gives the AI a mathematical signal of what humans consider a good or helpful response.
It's called reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF. That data pipeline is so critical that tech giants are willing to pay tens of millions of dollars just to maintain the licensing agreements.
So amidst all the regulatory threats and geopolitical friction, securing the raw data fuel remains a paramount concern.
Always.
Okay, I have to step in here because if you're a listener running a department or a company right now, this is a dizzying amount of pressure.
It's a lot to take in.
You've got the EU threatening massive fines starting in 3 days if your incident reporting isn't linked up. You've got the US FTC expanding consumer protection scopes, and the US and China fighting a geopolitical war over AI access. How does a company even survive this crossfire without just paralyzing their entire operation?
That is precisely why lawyer Kung Jin Kim's commentary is so valuable. He filters out the macro level noise and provides immediate tactical advice for survival. He stresses that right now, strategy must give way to urgent compliance plumbing.
Okay, what is his specific directive for this week?
He focuses entirely on the August 2 EU AI Act deadline. He states that organizations must immediately verify their internal incident reporting pathways.
It's not enough to just have a general policy.
No, it is not enough to have a general company policy that says we strive to use AI safely.
You need the actual bureaucratic infrastructure in place.
Precisely. If an AI tool in your HR department hallucinates and makes a biased decision, exactly who was notified, how is that logged? And most critically, is that internal log directly linked to the specific regulatory reporting forms required by the EU under Article 73.
So if the tool fails, you need a pre-established pipeline that immediately flags the failure, documents it, and alerts the legal team to file the mandatory EU disclosure.
If you do not have those internal pathways verified and linked to the regulatory forms by August 2, lawyer Kung Jin Kim warns that your organization is carrying severe violation risk from day one.
That's terrifying.
The FTC policy changes will take months to litigate. The U.S.-China chip war will play out over years. But the EU mandates require operational compliance in 72 hours. That is where a company must focus its immediate energy.
That is an incredibly clarifying breakdown. Let's pull all these threads together, because the picture we've painted today is complex, but it's fundamentally connected.
Really is.
We started by examining the massive divergence in big tech infrastructure spending. We saw Microsoft buying up rapidly depreciating GPUs to satisfy a massive backlog of OpenAI demand, while Meta took a stock hit for expanding their physical data centers. Yet, the market crowned Apple the most valuable company in the world precisely because they chose to preserve their cash rather than fight in that expensive, volatile hardware trench.
And from there, we looked at how that expensive technology is actually being deployed. The legal sector showed us that the raw capability of AI is rapidly becoming a commoditized utility.
Table stakes, like we said.
Exactly. The real value is no longer in the AI model itself, but in the companies like Legora and Legalon that can seamlessly integrate that AI into highly specialized, customized daily workflows.
And finally, we confronted the regulatory reality bearing down on all of this. The FTC treating AI inaccuracies as consumer protection violations, the intense geopolitical rhetoric over technological hegemony, and the critical importance of human-ranked data pipelines like Reddit.
But the defining takeaway for you, the listener, is the urgency of the EU AI Act. This is not a future problem.
No, it's right now.
August 2 brings strict incident reporting mandates. And as lawyer King Jin Kim advised, connecting your internal reporting pipelines to those compliance forms is a critical task for today.
We are watching the rules of a new era being written in real time. And it requires constant vigilance to stay ahead. But I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over as you navigate this landscape.
Let's hear it.
We've seen tech giants spend, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to build the foundational infrastructure of AI. We're seeing software companies race to capture workflows and regulators scramble to build the guardrails.
It is a massive collision of capital, innovation, and control.
But if Apple can reclaim the title of the world's most valuable company by specifically avoiding the early frantic infrastructure spend, it raises a really fascinating question.
What's that?
When the dust finally settles on this technological revolution, might the real winners simply be the companies that waited out the volatility, let everyone else pay for the expensive mistakes, and then just bought the perfectly commoditized, fully regulated tools for pennies on the dollar?
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
It really makes you rethink what it means to be a pioneer in the AI age.
It completely challenges the very concept of first mover advantage. Well, thank you for joining us as we unpacked the July 30 AI Daily Briefing. We hope this analysis provides you with a much clearer map of the terrain ahead.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. Keep questioning the old playbooks, stay sharp on those compliance deadlines, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.